Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Well, of course, I've been doing a series over the last couple of weeks called The Generous Gift of Wisdom. I hope you've been blessed by the series so far. Who's been on the journey with me? Amen. Well, we're going to take it a little bit further today. And if you have your Bibles, in a moment, I'm going to read a passage from 1 Kings chapter 2. And so turn your smartphone on. If you need a little bit of light, give me a wave. We can always help you with that as well. 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll read that just in a moment. But today I'm going to preach a message called The Enemies. Here we go. The Enemies of Wisdom. Now, we're going to look at what David charged his son Solomon to do when he became king, when Solomon took over from David. Now, the story we're going to pick up is basically David is on his deathbed. Now, after years of being in ministry, I have been pastorally on a couple of occasions where people are passing from this life into eternity. I was there more than 12 months ago when my mum passed away. And in that moment, there's a lot of tears, there's a lot of compassion, there's a lot of words that's been said or was said. And observing other people when they see a loved one pass away, there's a lot of tears and compassion and kindness that's expressed in that moment. But what we're going to pick up today is David's charge to Solomon, and it is the most unusual speech ever given when somebody is on their deathbed. And David is warning Solomon about a triple threat, about three men that if he does not deal with these three men, they will undermine the wisdom of God in his life. Three hidden landmines, three adversaries. Three opponents left unchecked would render the gift of wisdom on Solomon's life useless and ineffective if he did not deal with these three men. The enemies of wisdom, Adonijah, Joab, and Shimei. So are you ready to read David's charge to Solomon? 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged." Now watch this. This was not a recommendation. This was a command. He says to his son Solomon, "Solomon, if you want to be a man of wisdom, I'm commanding you, you must do this." Are you with me today? And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, verse 2, "My son, I will soon die, as everyone must, but I want you to be strong and brave." Let's skip to verse 5. It says, "Solomon, don't forget," here we go, "what Joab did to me by killing Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jetha, the two commanders of Israel's army. He killed them as if they were his enemies in a war, but he did it when there was no war. He is guilty, and it is now up to you to punish him in the way you think best. Whatever you do, don't let him die peacefully in his old age." How many of you know David's upset? Now let's go to verse 8. "Be sure to do something about Shimei, the son of Gera from Bahurim in the territory of Benjamin. He cursed and insulted me the day I went to Mahanaim." So we read in David's charge about two people. They are Joab and Shimei. But behind the scenes, there was a third enemy that was already in operation, and that is Adonijah. Adonijah, Joab, and Shimei. What I'm going to preach about today is prophetic in nature. If you sense the call of God, and if you are believing God that God would use you in a significant way, these are three enemies that you will face. These are three opponents that will try and undermine the call of God that's upon your life. And so when we think about Solomon, we often think that Solomon had wisdom based on the prayer that he prayed, which of course is true. But here we see today that David charged Solomon and said, Solomon, you must do something about this. Because no matter how much wisdom you have, if you don't deal with this, this will undermine, this will erode the wisdom that God has given to you. So let's look at the first person, Adonijah, the opportunist. Adonijah, the opportunist. Adonijah, essentially, was David's oldest living son. As David's eldest son, Adonijah believed that he had the right to the throne. He had a spirit of entitlement. He believed that as the eldest son, the throne belonged to him. Now let's look at what happens and have a look at his method for obtaining the throne. We see it in 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 5, and it says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. I want you to notice who promoted him. He promoted himself. And he said, I will be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now picture this verse just for a moment. He exalts himself, knowing that his father, if we could have the verse back up on the screen, please, knowing that his father was about to die, and because his father's about to die, he decides, I will be king, and he gets chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run in front of him, and he's literally going through Jerusalem, and he's declaring himself to be the king. And so he's saying to people that David is dying, but I am now the king of Israel. In other words, Adonijah had a spirit of self-promotion. He was self-appointed. We can even say that he was self-centered. Now, God's plan was he assigned Solomon with the task of building the temple. But Adonijah was plotting to build himself a kingdom. And we see that this spirit, if I can use that word, Adonijah wants to dislodge and displace Solomon from his seat. In the call of God and in the purposes of God for your life, you will find that there will be this spirit that will try to unseat you in your marriage. It wants to unseat you in your business, in the call of God. It wants to cause you to shrink back in the call of God. It wants to bring about a relational challenge with your children, a relational challenge with your good friends. It wants you to be a small thinker. It wants to unseat you in the call of God. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the kingdom of God does not need men and women with aspirations for building their own kingdoms. That is the spirit of Adonijah. We need people who care less about who receives the credit as long as God's plan is actually fulfilled. I want to say something today that in 26 years of full-time ministry, I have never, ever asked for an opportunity. I've never asked to preach somewhere. I've never asked of why I was not the person song leading when I used to song lead. I never asked why I missed out on doing the communion and someone else was selected. I have never, ever, ever asked for opportunity. Why? Because the Bible says in Psalm 75 verse 6, For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Where does promotion come from? Promotion comes from God. My attitude has been, if God has me somewhere, all I need to do is serve faithfully, be the best where God has me, and if He is truly Lord, and if He is truly Savior, and if He is truly Master, He can do what He needs to do in my life and through my life in His perfect timing. If the Lord could deliver Joseph from a prison and make him the ruler of Egypt, God can promote you. If He can exalt David when David was on the run and exalt him to be the king of Israel, He can lift you up. If He can deliver Daniel and make him the third ruler of a kingdom, God can promote you. I want to encourage you today, watch out for that spirit of Adonijah, that self-seeking. It wants to build its own kingdom. And if you've come against that spirit that's tried to unseat you in something in the call of God upon your life, I stand today in Jesus' name and I break that spirit and I say that it has no right, it has no authority, it has no power over you. You have a blessed marriage. You have a blessed business. You have a blessed relationship with your children. You have a blessed relationship with good friends. I speak to that spirit and I break it in Jesus' name. And we say to that spirit that you are defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. Watch out for that spirit that encourages you to promote yourself. You know, I've met pastors and leaders when I've been at conferences and different things, and they send me a message and they say, "Oh, Pastor Brad, you've got access to this particular room. Would you mind if I came along with you because I came to this conference to meet the right people?" And I'm thinking to myself, don't be like that. We don't need a generation like that. We need a generation that understands humility. We need a generation that understands what it means to lay down your lives for the needs of others. God will promote you. God will elevate you. God will lift you up at the right time. Because Matthew chapter 23 verse 12 says, "And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted." Can you say amen? Adonijah was deceived by pride, and ultimately he paid for his pride with his life. Let's look at the second one, Joab, the weak strong man. Now, Joab, the weak strong man, he was the commander of David's armies. We could call him David's general. Joab, he had mixture in him. That is, he was fiercely loyal to David. He had discernment. He won many, many battles for Israel. But the problem with Joab is that he carried out his own plans when he believed it was best. So David says to Joab, "My son Absalom, he's done the wrong thing. But whatever you do, don't take his life, just bring him back to me." Joab, he decided, well, I've been doing this a long time, I know better. And he killed Absalom. He also murdered Amasa when David said to him, "Joab, you don't need to kill him, just look after him." And this weak, strong man with so much skill thought to himself, "I've been doing this a long time. I don't like your idea. I'm the commander. I'm going to take charge of the situation." In other words, what Joab had was an independent spirit. Joab was competent, but his character was woefully deficient. That is a terrible place to be in life, to be competent, but your character is woefully deficient. A competence must be complemented by character. Now, David's problem was, is that he had selective faith. What do I mean by selective faith? Well, selective faith is essentially he had faith for the things that he wanted to have faith for. So, for example, I've defeated a lion. I've defeated a bear. Now, I'm going to defeat you. And he kills Goliath. But when it came time to dealing with Joab, this man of mixture, he justified his inaction by saying this. Watch this. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 39. This is David speaking. And I am weak today, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, they are what? Too harsh for me. Can you see David's selective faith? He had a person who was doing so much for him, but his character, on the other hand, was deficient. Never build around yourself people who are competent, but their character is deficient. It will come back and bite you one day. Over ministry, I've made the mistake of having competent people, but their character, well, you know, a couple of roundabouts, a couple of potholes here and there, and stuck with it. In the end, you will find that over years and years of building in the call of God, the best people that you can have around you are not the most competent people. The best people you can have around you in your life when you are wanting to serve God with all of your heart are people who have character. It's always character over gifting. We have a generation that celebrates the gift, that honors the gift, that loves the gift. And we all love the gift, and the gift is fantastic. And we need more of the gift, thank you, Lord. But we need a generation who, if you are going to stand the test of time and not be a firework explosive, woo, looks amazing, 3 minutes later, johnnycomelately.com, gone. But a solid piece of jarra in a fire. You may not be the brightest. You may not be the one that people look at and like, whoo, look at the fireworks, amazing. But 10 years from now, you're still burning. You're solid. You're consistent. You're moving forward in the purposes of God. And you might be able to go faster, but we will go further. Don't be someone who gets so in love with the gift that you forget about humility. You forget about kindness. You forget about compassion. What about controlling this thing here called the tongue? When God says, don't speak behind people's backs. Don't talk about people. Don't be a gossiper. Because all that stuff will produce a weak, strong man spirit in your life. You may be competent, but in the end, your character will erode the call of God that's upon your life. What about the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, humility, and faithfulness. What about learning the test of stickability? Lord, what does this have to do with the call of God upon my life? Why am I doing this job when I see myself doing that? And God says to you, I'm teaching you faithfulness. I'm teaching you stickability. I'm teaching you how to serve another person's vision so that you don't become a person who operates out of emotion, but you are a person who operates out of character. Because it's the right thing to do. Because it's the right thing to do to honor your boss. It's the right thing to do to not turn up when the workplace starts hypothetically at 9 a.m. and you are the one who rocks up at 9:15 every day. These things matter because they're building character. They are building excellence. Come on, if we are going to make an impact on this world, we need to be a people of character. We need to be a people who love good character, who don't get so obsessed with the gifting that we forget about good character. When other people choose certain things that are a little bit gray, Samson's problem was that it's not that he had a lust problem. His problem was is that he operated in the gray. He loved things not really right, not really wrong, not really right, not really wrong. He operated in the gray. Don't be like that. Be someone who chooses what's right, what's pleasing to God, what's honoring to God. It is called good character. And David says to his son Solomon, if you're going to fulfill the call, if you're going to build the temple, if you are going to stand the test of time, then you must deal with the weak, strong man. Amen. I hope this is not too heavy for you today. And then he tells him to deal with a man by the name of Shimei. Who is Shimei? Shimei, we can call the cruel critic. The cruel critic. Now, David, this man Shimei, well, basically what happened was David was fleeing from Absalom. He had heard that David was on the run. He decides to himself, I'm mad at David. I don't like him. And so David was going past his town. So he goes out. He sees David. David's running. He's like, this is the end of him. About time this happened to this guy. And he starts throwing stones. He starts throwing rocks at David. And then he starts cursing him with cold-hearted, malicious words. Now, this guy, Shimei, well, he is a critic. He's the one that believes that it's his job every now and again to have the watchman's spirit when it comes to your life. What is the watchman's spirit? Who's ever heard of the watchman before? Well, the watchman is actually a biblical thing. So essentially what would happen in the towns, they would have a watchman. The watchman would look out for the safety of the town. But this is the problem with the watchman's spirit that we're talking about today. The watchman was there to watch out for enemies trying to come to invade the town. This spirit that we're talking about today is facing the wrong way. It's facing in. They believe it's their job to watch you, to analyze you, to deconstruct, then to scrutinize your every move and your every decision. And sadly, it can be somebody that you know. It can be someone, we won't say this too loud, in the church. It could even be a member of your family. And they're looking and they're watching and they're watching your every single move. And they have become a critic of your life. And every time they come to church, they criticize everything, criticize this and criticize that. They develop within them a critical spirit. And this man, Shimei, he had a critical spirit. All he wanted to do was criticize. All he wanted to do was throw rocks at David. Let's curse him. His days are numbered. And they use the little emoji every time they criticize. And they think they're doing God a favor. You know the green tick emoji? It's like, yep, did my job today. This is the problem when we come under the attack of this. David says to his son Solomon, you'll find someone like this in your journey. They're going to come after you. They're going to analyze, deconstruct, scrutinize, criticize. The problem with criticism, it has such an incredible way of wounding our hearts to the point that it can actually defeat us. I've heard on the phone strong men cry coming under the spirit of criticism. I had a pastor on the phone just 3-4 weeks ago on a Friday morning, bawling his eyes out. Couldn't speak for like 20 minutes. And I'm kind of like just sitting on my driveway there with Bluetooth on, you know, trying to console him because he came under a critical spirit, just trying to rob him of joy. And some of us have experienced that in our lives where we have a person. I want to tell you, the Bible says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You got to watch out for the wind and the waves. When Jesus walked on the water, the Bible says it was the wind and the waves, that is, seen forces and unseen forces. You got to have wisdom to recognize what's a seen force and what's an unseen force. Let's look at what David prays when he came under this criticism. Psalm 109, verse 1. Are you ready? He says, do not keep silent, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. Have you ever experienced that in your life? They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Look at what David says in verse 4. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. You don't need to respond to your critics. What you need to do is go to God in prayer. You need to spend time in the presence of God, praying and asking God to strengthen you and to encourage you. And our goal is not to respond to our critics. Kindness is the greatest ammunition to killing criticism and exposing the critic. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Can you say amen? Let me give you two tips about criticism. If you've experienced it, if you are experiencing it, or might experience it. Hopefully not. Critics often know no boundaries. They don't build a wall around what's in and what's out. It's like, you know, that proverb that says, a fool vents all of his feelings. So essentially, what critics do, because they have no boundaries, they keep going and they keep going. And eventually, they cross a line because they have no boundaries. And the line is, others look at it and think to themselves, oh my goodness, this person, they've got no boundaries in their lives. Their criticism is out of control. And the Bible says, shame shall be the promotion of a fool. Can I give you another wisdom tip? It's gone very quiet in the room today. I know it's a heavy sermon. But this guy, Shimei, it was not that he was upset with David. Your critics are not upset at you. Do you want me to tell you what they're upset about? This guy, Shimei, we need to know a little bit about his background. He was from the house of Saul, which meant that when David was appointed king, he lost out on what he believed was his future. That is, he had a pro-Saul hunger in him. They're not upset at you. What they're upset about is what they have missed out on in their own lives. And now they take it out on you. And we use the kindness and the love of God to overcome. But David did something else. He gave his son Solomon wisdom. And Solomon did this. Watch this. This is what you do to critics. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 36. Then the king sent and summoned Shimei and said to him, build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there. But you must not go out anywhere whatsoever from there. What did Solomon do? He put criticism under house arrest. You will never be able to stop all of your critics. It's an impossibility. Else you'd have to cut everyone's tongues off. And you don't want to do that. You will never be able to... Jesus had his critics. Every great man and woman of God have had their critics. You will not be able to stop. Come on, I'm preaching to someone today. You will not be able to stop your critics. But what you can do is place them under house arrest. I'm building some boundaries. I am determining how far and how close this thing actually comes to my life. I am not a doormat. Being humble and being a doormat are two different things. God has not called you to be a doormat. You are a child of God. But we don't retaliate with unkindness. We retaliate with love and with compassion and with grace. However, I'm going to build a house for you. And that house will sit over there. And I'll only allow it to come so close to my life. Because if I allow it to come too close, criticism is so powerful, it will wound you, it'll defeat you, and it'll hurt you if you allow it to come too close to you. It's time to place the spirit of criticism under house arrest. Build some boundaries. You do not need that in your life. The enemies of wisdom, Adonijah, Joab, and Shimei. Now let's look at what happened to King Saul because he made right choices. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. But now the Lord, my God, has given me, come on church, he has given me, come on, he has given me peace on every side. I have no enemies and all is well. Come on, some of you have allowed these things to enter into your homes, enter into your thought life. Adonijah's trying to unseat you. Joab, that mixture is coming, a little bit of good, a little bit of bad, and you've learned to accept it. Shimei, that spirit of criticism, it's time to rise up today and to say, I will not accept this in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and you feel as though one of these three areas, or possibly all three, God's been stirring you today. And the Holy Spirit's saying, deal with the enemies of wisdom. Don't just pray for wisdom. Deal. Come on, deal. Wasn't God's job. David told his son Saul, deal with the enemy. You got to do something. Deal with the enemies of wisdom because they will render your gift ineffective if you leave it. The Spirit of God's talking to you. Why don't you stand? I want to pray for you today. Musos and singers, you can come. I know it's a heavy word today. And I hope it's not too harsh. But I hope God's speaking to you. Come on, because we're called, we're chosen, we're anointed. Come on, only if this applies to you, you can stand, because we're going to pray for you today. And we're going to break it today. We're going to break it in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. So Father, I thank you today for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray today, Father, as people have come under the attack, Lord, of any of these dynamics, any of these things, I pray, Father, that you would strengthen today. I pray you would encourage. I thank you for good character today. Thank you for wisdom that comes from above, wisdom to make right decisions, wisdom, Father, wisdom from the Holy Spirit. But Father, we also know, Lord, that there are things that seek to undermine wisdom, that seek to destroy the call to wisdom. Yeah, there you go. So Holy Spirit, I just pray today in the name of Jesus that these things would be broken. Lord, that spirit of criticism, I break it and bind it in Jesus' name. those that feel appointed as watchmen to criticize you about everything that you do and every action that you make, every word that you say. We command that thing to come under house arrest and to be no more in the name of Jesus. And we break it today. So Spirit of God, we just surrender afresh. We surrender afresh in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.